Let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We've read concerning Christ's baptism, what John was doing. I want to give you seven things about baptism this morning. Baptism, first of all, is an open profession of one's faith in Christ. It doesn't mean that they had made a profession that was void if they profess to be Christ as their Savior. They have already accepted Christ, and then baptism is just an open profession of what they've already done. They're openly and publicly claiming Christ as Savior. Now then, we're saved by faith. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. And so we're saved by grace. And in the book of Romans chapter 4, let me read some scripture for you. Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 24. And it tells us that what was written, well, verse 23 says, now it was not written for his sake alone, referring to Abraham, that it was imputed to him, that his righteousness was counted to Abraham, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So we find that believing on Christ, receiving him by faith, is to receive him as one who was delivered on the cross for our offenses. But then the resurrection was raised again for our justification. And that's why in Romans 5 verse 1, the next verse says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We could not have that peace otherwise, but because of it. So we're declared to be justified, saved and justified, righteous and justified by Christ's death and his resurrection. The Bible tells us that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And we find that we are declared to be born again by faith. Let me read 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1 for you. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So it says, everyone that believeth that Jesus is the Christ Now, that's more than just historically. That means that you accept Him as the one sent from God, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, and you believe on Him as your own personal Savior. It says it's born of God. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, it says this, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And then it goes on to say something about baptism. But it declares, first of all, that you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's the only way you can become a child of God. And then it says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So that shows that you're putting on the uniform of Christ by being baptized. Let's think about it for a little bit. You know, there are almost too many illustrations to give you, but say, for instance, a nurse in the hospital down here. She goes through and takes all of her courses, and she gets her certificates and diplomas and everything, and she's a nurse. But when she goes down to the hospital, she usually puts on some kind of a uniform that you can tell what she really is. You can tell there's a nurse coming down the hallway or into the room. Same way with a person that's a fireman. He puts on a fireman's uniform. You say, well, he's a fireman. He's got on the uniform. If you join the service, when I joined the Navy, I enlisted in Roslyn in the 40s, World War II, while it was going on. You take your oath. You take all, when you enlist, you take all the necessary things to say that you've made your commitment to be a sailor. Well, they took me to Albuquerque on a bus, and then from there on a train to San Diego. I get out there, and they issued me a uniform and a little sailor's cap, you know. Well, everyone knows then that I'm in the Navy. But I was in there before that. And it's just like salvation. You're saved when you trust Jesus Christ. But when you're baptized, you tell the world. You let others know that you're putting on the uniform, that you are a Christian, that you're going to follow the Lord and try to live a new life. It means all these things. And no one should be baptized who has not already made a profession of faith in Christ and trusted the Lord as their Savior. That's the one that's a candidate for baptism. Peter tells us that baptism is the answer of a good conscience toward God in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. It's the answer of a good conscience toward God. Now then, baptism also is a picture of Christ's death and burial and resurrection. I want to read in Romans chapter 6, if you will. Romans chapter 6, let's begin with verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Paul said, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. And the question comes up, are we going to say that because grace abounds and is more than sin, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, he says, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin," this is Romans chapter 6, verse 1, in verse 2 now, "how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" And we're dead to sin once we accept Christ as our Savior. You say, well, we sin after that. Yes, but sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. It says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" If the word baptized means immersion, we were not literally immersed into His death, but we were in considering that He died for our sins. But not literally. That's why baptism is a figure and a picture. Because it goes on to say, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as," what? "Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." You see that verse? Verse 4? In verse 5. "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him." Not only live with Him after in this life, but shall live with him in the future. So what we're seeing here, and in this passage of Scripture, that baptism is a likeness. Baptism is a picture. You know, if I have a picture, and I do have them in my billfold, I have a picture of my wife and children and so on. If I show you that, that's not her or the children. That is a likeness. So this is like what's taken place. We were buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And that's what baptism is a picture of and a figure of. And our forgiveness comes through his death. And our justification comes through his resurrection. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's Colossians 1 verse 14. And then it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, listen, according to the riches of his grace. And that's Ephesians 1 7. So we find that it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and we have forgiveness of sins, and we have justification already, and this is a picture of what's already accomplished in us. It's already done. In John chapter 5, verse 24, remember, some of you, I've told you to memorize this verse. How many have? I don't see too many hands going up. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth, listen carefully, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. By what? Believing. Amen. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You'll not come into that final great judgment, but you're passed from death unto life, spiritual death unto eternal life. And baptism also pictures the future death and resurrection. We're going to die someday, but we're going to be resurrected at Christ's coming. And the Bible promises that when Jesus comes again, we shall be resurrected as he has promised that we would be. And baptism is following Christ's example. You know, there's a lot of things Jesus did that we cannot do. Well, you know that. I mean, anyone that wouldn't admit that haven't read your Bible. But there's a lot of things that Jesus did that we're unable to do because he was not only the Son of Man, but the Son of God, and he was God manifest in the flesh. But there's one thing that we can do like Jesus did and following his example, and that's follow him in the waters of baptism. Amen. He's given us the privilege of doing that, and he said when he was baptized, thus it becometh us, to John, to fulfill all righteousness. And so we can follow him in the waters of baptism and in the way that he asked that we should follow him. In fact, in the way he commanded in Matthew 28, that those that were taught of all nations or made disciples, he says, baptizing them. The church has the responsibility to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're obligated to do. Now we'll have to hurry along. I want to give you two or three more things. This baptism was from God, from heaven. It has heaven's approval. There's two passages of Scripture that I won't take time to read, but it says Jesus is talking about, was this baptism from heaven or of men? And in Matthew 21, verse 25, and Luke 20, verse 4, it's there completely recognized that it was from heaven. It was from heaven in the sense that God had predicted the man that would come and begin baptizing, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, and also Isaiah chapter 40, I believe it's verse 3. So you have those references that spoke of the Baptist coming and beginning to be the forerunner of Christ and prepare the way for the Lord. I believe I gave you the right verses off the top of my head, but anyway, you can check them out. Malachi 3, 1 and Isaiah 40, verse 3. Anyway, we find that it was recognized as from God. And then God recognized it when Jesus was baptized and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And also in Luke 7, verse 29, we justify God. We justify God by being baptized with that baptism, that he is holy and righteous, that we are sinners. God says we're sinners, and we justify God in doing that. We say, well, yes, we're sinners, but we want to be godly. We want to be righteous. We want to be holy. And God is justified in accepting us as such. And as such, we need his forgiveness as sinners, and we receive that forgiveness, and we're made to be righteous. The Bible says that God has declared us to be righteous. Paul says that the day that would be coming, that he would be found in him, not having his own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. And that's the righteousness we possess. And we do righteousness as a result. It doesn't just mean that we're that because of Christ's substitution, but it means that because of that, he will make us to be more righteous. And we're in the process of that in our lives. First John says, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And so we are taught to do righteousness. And then in this baptism, we have the heavens recognition that we are openly declared to be the sons of God. Just as Jesus was declared to be the Son of God, we're openly declared to the public to be children of God. And then last of all, let me give you the last thing. Baptism states that we want to live a new life. It says that we want to walk in newness of life. Let me read that again. In verse 5, Romans 6, verse 5, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now then in verse 4 it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.